Welcome to the Dropping a Coil show with Larry Woods, Rob Works, and me, Flash. We're here in the RealLibertyMedia.com on the 16th of July in 2020. And I think, Larry, I'm going to say thanks. I forgot about the intro here. I'm going to say thanks to Grimner. We managed it again. He hears heavy breathing. We're in shape. So we'll go right to the bots and bodies. If you got questions or you want to chitter chatter while the show's live, you got Barman, Beetle, Grimner, Moose Girl, Kate, Anti-Asmo, Chloe, Dan Van Meter, me, Gramsy, Jade Dread, Meisterbrow, Wood, Rob Works, Trust No One, Uff, Vanna White, W4DKV, Weather Dork, The Phantom, CC66, Cyborg Noodle the Bot, E-Man, N-Civ, Frumpy, J's, Nines, J's, underscore, Kiss, Larry Woods, 01, Matt, WJ2002, Pone Sauce, Sock Puppet, Smartass, The Holiest Roger, and Z-Pigs. So with that, I think Larry's got something to share with the class this week, right, Larry?
Yes, indeed.
Take it away, Larry.
All right. First of all, sorry for not being here last week. I got involved. Not evolved, involved.
With a hoe?
But not yet.
Oh, okay. Oh, and tonight's episode is called Don't Worry, It Won't Catch on Fire. Am I good or what? Huh?
You're good. The circuit that is posted, you guys wanted a picture of what it does? Well, this is what it does.
I have it posted before.
Oh, okay. Go ahead and post
I'm
that.
Posting it as we
We created a circuit that has a center tap transformer. This is all out of one coil. It's a 12-circuit coil. It's got 1, 2, 3 capacitors in it that are simply shorted out circuits. It's got 3-phase power to it. It's got a center tap transformer. I think I already said that. It's got resistors in it, which are the paired circuits, would be 3, 4 in black, 7, 8 in black, and 11, 12 in black. The capacity circuits are 1, 5, and 9. They're all odd numbers. Keep that in mind. That makes a difference. And there are 3 power takeoffs where you run a 3-phase motor. That's what the 3 little circles at the top are. Now, if you're going to run a 3-phase motor, you want a 12-volt input off of the spiral coil with a Hallback array in it that gives you 12 volts AC, not DC. That will allow the 3-phase motors to run off of this circuit. When the 3-phase motors start up, whether they're 50 cycle or 60 cycle, they set up a resonance within this circuit. It's a self-resonating circuit, and each one of them will, like say they're all 50 cycle motors, that means that the resonation in this coil will be 50 cycles. Does not need to be modulated. The load that you put on it dictates the resonation. If you want this to just light bulbs, a direct resistance load, which is called a linear load for you guys that want to get really technical, if it's that, then you have to come off of the red 7 on the bottom to a frame ground. No earth ground, a frame ground. And that will let the light bulbs light up. If they're motors, that's a nonlinear load, which is a motor or an electronic load, something that has frequency to it. You take that ground completely off. This will operate off of a battery that's dead. Any battery that's dead. Boom, that's it. It's that simple. It's that simple.
Explain the difference between a frame ground and an earth ground.
Okay, an earth ground is when you drive a ground rod into the earth itself and attach a big heavy wire to it from your power supply or from your equipment or from your power supply. A frame ground is when you just clip onto the metal leg of your workbench, if you've got a metal leg, or any metal thing close to your workbench. That's a frame ground. What the frame ground does is allow when you have an imbalance, like say you're running a three-phase saw off of this, it's going to bog down. If you hit a knot or a piece of wire that's in the tree or whatever, it's going to bog down at certain points. When it bogs down, yeah, that's going to spike. But instead of spiking, that'll run that spike down through that ground. But it will also draw electrons off of that piece of metal and put it back in to where it eliminates that drag. It'll boost it back up.
Right.
The way we've got this system hooked up with the three capacitors in it, you can literally lose one phase, and the other two phases will fill up the one. It'll make a phantom phase through magnetic and electrical induction.
That's amazing.
Kind of a neat circuit.
That's.
I'm really proud of this circuit.
I bet.
That's why I'm doing it.
I bet. It's just amazing that you can figure this stuff out. I mean, I'm still lost. I mean, I know a little bit, but...
I had 32 years of practice.
Yeah, I get that. I mean... I have to just basically go on your explanation, of what it'll do and everything. I don't pretend to understand why it works and why it does what it does. That's why we have you. So,
well, it's really simple when you know why electricity does what electricity does. This is simple logic.
Yeah.
But I'm simple and my logic comes hard.
Okay, so why does electricity do what electricity does?
Difference in potential.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
There we go. A capacitor. Why does a capacitor work? Because there's two different kinds of things in there and there's a different potential between the two of them. Some capacitors work better than others because there's a different dielectric strength between the two different materials. You've got, like when you're plumbing your house, your gas pipes are iron and your water pipes are copper. If a gas pipe and a water pipe touch one another, that copper water pipe is going to get a hole in it, because it sets up a dielectric difference. The electric potential between the two different metals is different, and it'll sit there and spark. You may not see it spark,
but
it's actually doing that.
Yeah, which creates corrosion.
Absolutely. You need a hole in that copper.
That's what oxidation is, basically.
Yeah. So that's all a capacitor is two dissimilar metals inside a container. Some of them is, say, zinc and sugar water, because sugar is a crystal, which is a metallic, and that sets up a difference. Some of them are just like copper and zinc. That's two different kinds of metal. That's a dry capacitor that set up a difference in charge between the plates. So there's always potential between the two plates.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all we're doing is we're using the potential out of each of these circuits to influence the potential in the next one.
So the drawing is of a single circuit, or the diagram you drew?
The diagram is of 12 circuits.
Okay, 12 circuits. And yeah. This can accomplish anything up to 12?
It's a 12-circuit coil.
Yeah, it's a 12-circuit coil. There's 12.
Well, you were saying earlier.
Windings.
Right, but you were saying earlier that you could use it for this or that. Maybe I misunderstood.
For several different things.
Yeah, okay. This will do a lot of different things.
So this is just new to me because I'm not older like you guys. Okay, well, I'm curious. All right. Now, you made a big point of saying that this, if somebody with experience reads your diagram, they're going to claim this will catch on fire. You say it won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Give us both stories. Why would somebody expect it to catch fire? And then why doesn't it catch fire?
Because you've got three direct shorts in the odd circuit, which turns that circuit into a capacitor. Circuit 1, circuit 5, and circuit 9 are direct shorts. But 1, 5, and 9 also go up to your load, so that's potential. So
okay, so the long line represents potential. And the connection between 1, 5, and 9 is all right. I'm getting there. It's slow.
Yeah, the connection
sounds really complicated.
1, 5, and 9. It's not. If I can do it, anybody can do it.
I got a late start.
It sounds a lot easier than it is. Anybody with the background that you got could do it. Yeah.
Okay, so why would somebody that was experienced in these drawings expect this particular thing to catch fire?
Because of the direct shorts between 1, 5, and 9.
Yeah.
You see the short line between the two lines?
Okay, the arrow's pointing down between the 2 and the 5 and the 6 and the 9 represent what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't read these things very well. The 9, the 5, and the 1
each have a line. Between the two nines, between the two fives, between the two ones,
right.
Those are direct shorts.
Oh, yeah. But see, the bottom line goes from 4 to 12.
Yeah, from 1 to 12, and that's your power input off of that spiral coil with a Hallback array.
All right.
So reading those things with experience,
you see those little humps where between the two nines, there's a hump where it jumps over that number 4?
Yeah,
line,
yeah,
that
there's
green
a
line.
Half around, yeah.
That means it's not connected to that.
Okay, so having the knowledge of what the symbols mean, big difference.
To understand
I'm learning.
If those were connected, there would be a dot there instead of that jump.
Yeah.
Okay, isn't anything with a dot, so there's nothing connected.
Yeah, where the 5 and the 6 and the 9 and the 10, where those Y's are, they come together with 3 points. Those are dots. Those are connected.
Okay, I see. All right, I got a little bit blurry on my screen.
Yeah, it is a little blurry.
And I loaded it. All right, I see the dot, 9, 10, 5, 6, and 1, 2. Okay, and so the dot represents connection, and half circle represents no connection.
Yeah, it means it
just
jumps over it.
It's just crossing over.
Okay. And that funny-looking S in the circle between 1 and 12, that means alternating power.
AC power.
AC.
Weird.
Yeah.
Well, it's new to me because I've never used these drawings before.
And the reason that the three little circles at the top with two wires going into them aren't labeled is because those can be two different things, and I didn't want to label them just so that it wouldn't confuse people.
Right. Now, if it was a three-phase motor you were hooking up to this, it'd be the three lines going into the three-phase motor.
Actually, there'd be just a little M in the center of that circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But each of those leads coming off would be one phase of the three-phase motor. So you have a three-phase motor that has four lines coming out of it, your three power and your ground, your neutral.
Well, I was assuming
your
I'm
three
not
power
one
phases would hook up to the three load points there.
they're brown, orange, and yellow.
Yeah.
Another thing to that's real important about this, the wires going up to those loads, up to those three circles at the top, have got to be large enough to handle the full amperage of that load. The wires in this coil are very small compared to the load because they're interacting with one another, and we call them feed wires from one and two and on the top go up to that light, up to that circle, and then out of that circle down to three on the bottom. Those wires have got to be the full size of the load. Those are what will burn up. Those will melt if you use the same size wires you got on the coil.
Like on circuit one and two, you've got the two coming up to the wires. Those would be the wires coming off the coil. And where those three come together, that would be like a lug, and you'd want like a 10-gauge or something coming off of that to a...
Exactly.
To your heavy motor.
Yeah, if it was a 30-amp motor, to take 10-gauge wire going up to it.
Right. Or whatever it's rated for.
Yeah, whatever the motor is rated for, that's the size of wire you need
push
to put
coil
on. Yeah, and the coil is simply interacting with itself, so it can use a little bitty wire. In fact, our coils use 10 times smaller wire than the rated amperage that you're drawing off of it.
Right.
So Larry, like with Rob, if you've got a little experience in this field, seeing this diagram helps you. Instead of, like me, it makes it more confusing.
If you've got experience in this field and the Saturn coil, you can wire a three-phase load off that Saturn coil.
And you understand that by seeing this particular diagram?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's like a math equation, Rob. If you know the math, it's simple. If you don't, you need to learn it
real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. What we're talking about is a 12-circuit coil. Let's go back to the coils. Okay. Remember the picture we showed of the one I was doing? That was the 6-circuit coil. Okay, each circuit is one wire. Okay, each wire has two ends. Okay, so there's 12 wires on this coil, each with a positive end and a negative end. Okay, that's where these numbers correspond to. The top one is one end of the one number one coil. The bottom is the other end of that coil. The two is two ends of that circuit. The three is the two ends of that circuit. Does that make more sense?
Well, it's not a matter of making more sense or not. It's a matter of the experience of understanding the diagram I'm looking at. And it's like anything else. Once I'm taught how to read it, then I can read it. But when I'm new, I don't know what I'm looking at.
The thing you were missing
I need to have somebody explain it to me. So I probably have to go and find a link.
There's no legend on this diagram, so you didn't know what you were looking at. So
no, plus it's you and Larry. So I got blind trust in you two.
Well, yeah. Well, that was the only thing, is you thought all those wires were connected where they were only crossing. And so there's no connection there. They have to be able to do that, otherwise you wouldn't be able to draw anything. That's like it's jumping over the other wire, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. But without touching it, though.
Right.
Yeah. Well, So
again, it gets confusing talking about something.
It's not a connection.
I don't have my hands on, you know.
Yeah,
so I'm using my imagination, and I don't have a good visual like that. I struggle dearly.
Anyway,
but if I saw a picture with a like of your coil where I could show somebody and go, "Hey, this is what he's working on," and immediately whatever he knew about electric went, "Oh wow, that's cool as fuck. How do you think of doing that?"
Right.
But me, I'm looking at Rob's donut and coil wrap attempt. But the other guy saw it in a whole different light, and it's just based on our personal experience in the field.
Yeah.
And I'm here to try to get the newer guy just a little bit of simple talk from you two guys, just in case that it could spark an interest. You never know.
Right.
Because so, I have it,
this
but
is very cool,
boy,
I'm
not smart enough for this.
Three-phase power off of coral. That's...
off of one coil.
Yeah.
Off of one coil.
Right.
And then you talk in phase. And then I worked with electricians, so I heard the term over the years, but never had anybody break it down. What's the difference between one phase, two phase, three phase? What does it even mean?
Your house has what we call it single phase in your house, but there are two hot leads. There's just one bar in there that's one leg and another bar that's the other leg. Each bar is 110 volts. When you go between the two bars, that combines them, and that's 220 volts. In Europe, they have only 220 power for their single phase. It still comes in on two lines, but they connect them in the panels. Three phase is industrial power. It's a higher voltage, which means that the equipment runs at a lower amperage, and that saves the money. That's the only reason for three-phase power, is to save money.
Right.
Okay.
There's three hot legs in three-phase and two hot legs in single-phase.
Now, is that the correct way to do it? Because I've heard you improve shit over the years, Larry. Yeah.
Well,
is that particular part of this electrical situation being done in a fashion that you see is good for all of us?
Yeah, we're taking 12 volts AC single phase, putting it into this coil, and getting a whole lot more than that three phase out.
Okay, where does the initial juice come from to go to the coil?
That comes from a spiral coil, a 12-circuit spiral coil, and it gets 12 volts because it's got 12 circuits. It's a spiral coil with a Hallback array in it. A Hallback array, again, is just a group of magnets that's more one pole than the other.
So you're your own source of generation is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's the unheard of part.
There's no outside input.
We're all on this system,
right? Yeah, this is a closed system.
Yeah. And it's got to be delivered to you. There's no other way to do it. This is all there is.
Yeah.
That's what they tell us.
This is solid state, no moving parts. No moving parts whatsoever, except the motors that you're powering. And if it's light bulbs, then there's no moving parts at all.
Well,
the only thing moving in this is the electrons, and they're not moving, they're exchanging power.
Okay, well, what's the difference between that movement and exchanging power? What's the difference between the two?
I personally, and this is only my opinion,
true.
I don't think that an electron jumps off the outer valence of copper and jumps to the next copper atom.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
If it did, that atom would be nickel at that point.
Hmm.
When that electron leaves it, it'd be nickel instead of copper.
It's magnetically pushing them.
So it would be like one cell from your liver trying to connect to a cell from the next body part over. It's not going to work. You're going to create problems. That kind of logic, or am I off?
Well,
it's
like two magnets. You can push your magnet away with another magnet by simply putting the same polarity towards it.
Hmm.
Well, I think that's what happens. Nothing is jumping off that magnet to move the other magnet. And I think it's just the magnetic field created that allows an interaction between the atoms, rather than an electron jumping off the outer valence and moving to the next atom.
Do you think it's just pure magnetism?
I think it is.
Hey, Rob, do you?
I think gravity is static electricity.
Do you have a lot of experience with magnetism before Larry brought it to you, or were you already there?
I'm fascinated with magnetism and stuff. I'm by no means an expert, but
I mean, come on, we all played with magnets.
I've always been fascinated with magnets. I understand, you know, north south pole
Well, it wasn't so much what I do or don't understand as much as the explanation, the way he put it. Everybody knows when you push the magnets together, if you got the wrong side, they won't connect.
Yeah,
so the logic behind that, something jumping off the magnet doesn't, that's not going to happen. Yeah. It's like catching the coronavirus, you know, because you didn't wear a mask. Stupid.
Really?
You got to be an idiot to believe a story that's that ridiculous. But, you know, here I am. I don't know much about what you guys know. Just enough to make sense of the overall.
Yeah.
But I've got a million questions in the middle. And I just like to bring it up because, you know, for the new guy like me, got an interest, but maybe not completely where it's, like, taking you to. It's a nice shift, though. Yeah. From the normal routine.
There's PhDs that don't understand it completely. Well, Larry will admit he doesn't know for sure why electricity works. Nobody does.
Hmm. Not at all.
Wow. Why
is it? That's my theory.
That's why he qualified that. This is my opinion, my theory. Why? I don't think electrons jump from molecule to molecule or atom to atom.
But it makes good sense, even to a layman. I mean, like myself, I understood what he meant.
I mean, if you believe in physics that they've got the atomic chart, the atomic structure accurate, and it starts out with the hydrogen, which is one electron, one proton, and then the next element has two, and the next element has three, and that's why they're numbered 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way down the line.
Mm.
And so, if you take one of those electrons from any of those elements, you have destroyed that element. You've taken it away, and you've created a different element.
Oh, okay. It's like being an artist. You take a piece of whatever wood. And you carve the shit out of it, and you come out with a face. But you're destroying the original piece of lumber.
Yeah.
To get to your results. Yeah. Well,
yeah, it doesn't really get the same meaning across. But
words are funny, Rob.
It's the same thing if you add an electron to another thing. That's the difference between fission and fusion. Fission is splitting atoms. Fusion is combining parts of atoms.
Joining, combining. Is that the same
fusion
thing?
Fusion is putting them together. Fission is breaking them apart. Fusion, they're inserting electrons into the base material to create a new material, but the process creates heat. With fission, they're breaking them apart because they naturally break apart. It's fissionable material. Radioactive material does it naturally. So that's what's happening, is it's throwing off electrons. Just creating heat.
Another unusual trait to this coil is that when it's under load, it doesn't heat up. It stays ambient room temperature. And I think if we put enough load on it, it would get cooler.
Really?
Now, it stays ambient. It never changes temperature.
Now, you've heard this already, or is this theoretical?
No, this is part of the testing that we got done with just 3/4 of the circuit completed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I'm.
So you haven't actually done a live test with a real with a complete coil yet.
Never.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would be very curious to see how hard you can push this thing.
Well, this is again the Saturn coil, our 12 circuit flat wound coil. That's a single Mobius. Asks for more load.
Yeah,
it asks
that
for more load.
Test with all the light bulbs. What did you say? You got up to 24 light bulbs or something?
Yeah,
2400 watts.
Yeah. And they were all burning full brightness.
It was still.
But if you only put one on it, it wouldn't light up, and when you or would light very very dim.
Yeah.
And when you put two on it, they both got a little bit brighter.
So the more low, the more reaction you get.
And that's another thing. Without a load, this will not work.
It won't
the drawing that I give you, without a load, it will not do anything.
It won't register anything, but you put an actual load on and it works.
Yeah. Which means that
if you
take those three motors off and just have those two wires for each motor hanging out, you can put a thumb on one and a thumb on the other and you'll get electrocuted.
Huh.
But it won't do anything at all. It's simply potential without a load on it.
Yeah.
And you cannot read that potential with a meter.
But if you catch the
meters, sure. These are three magnetic circuits. They're not electrical circuits. They're magnetic circuits.
Right.
It's all done through magnetic induction.
I've got the idea of the whole magnetic induction thing going on.
Okay.
Or the virtual circuitry.
Yeah.
So basically, if you think about it, in terms of magnetism and lines of force of magnetism.
We'll go into that too. Remind me about that. Go ahead.
Has there been any studies done on what's the density of the lines of force?
That's what I wanted to get into.
Well, let's get on into it then.
Okay. When you put the magnetic paper, the paper that shows the magnetic field over a magnet, it'll show you some big lines, some dark lines, and then some spaces, like with iron filings.
Everybody's seen the magnetic. If anybody's been to a science class in school.
Yeah.
Has done the iron filing magnetism experiment thing.
Okay. Well, those are magnetic lines of flux. But what they don't tell you is the Weber force.
Okay.
And that is the empty spot between those two lines of flux.
Uh-huh.
The Weber force is what keeps those two lines separate.
Mm-hmm.
The Weber force is what we call dark matter. It's simply the magnetic field that you cannot read without the proper equipment. It's the force that holds the planets apart so that the magnetic attraction between the planets don't make them crash together.
And that's why planets don't fall into the sun.
Yeah, and that's why an atom keeps running. Because of the Weber force holding those parts apart.
Yeah, and the electrons spin.
Yeah. So it's all the same. A solar system and an atom is the same thing. Galaxies are the same thing. It's all Weber force. There is no such thing as dark matter.
And as Grimm will tell you, it's all connected.
That's it. And not only that, a magnetic field is not linear like it shows you on that piece of indicating paper. A magnetic field is spiral. It looks like a funnel. The magnet, the end of the magnet where those, I call them magnets, but the end of that bar that's magnetized where those lines of force come out, those are in a tornado. the pointy vortex. End is by the end of the magnet, and the wide end is out at the end of the magnetic flux lines.
It's a vortex.
It's a vortex. It's the water running down your drain. It goes in a circle. It doesn't just empty out.
Which I believe is the basic natural motion of everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything that there is a torus field. Has the three components that I call the Holy Trinity. Vibration, which causes electricity, which causes magnetism. That's the Holy Trinity. That's the three things that everything from a proton up to the entire universe has in common.
Wow.
That's why I don't believe in gravity either. The Earth is negative. The sky is positive. We're a little bit more positive than the Earth. Therefore, we stick to it, just like magnets.
Wow.
I know the guy's crazy. Don't listen to him.
No. Actually, no, I take a lot of shit for going against the grain and questioning anything. So to hear you talk about it the way I do, kind of refreshing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I point out to people it's a theory.
Yeah, it's all theory.
And the people selling you that theory are the same people that gave you debt. So figure it out, you know?
Right.
And, okay. Well, it's just sad what they don't tell us, Larry.
Well, nobody can explain what gravity is.
No, they've been trying.
Theoretical physicists and all that crap. They don't understand it. Well, look at the polarity of the magnets that we are.
Do magnets retain water like we do?
No, I don't know.
Well, because we're so confusing when you talk about human beings and you compare us to shit we think we know a lot about what we really don't, like magnetism.
Water is actually has magnetic properties.
Everything seems
electricity out of water.
Right, but everything that's alive or dead seems to have some form of electricity running through it no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't spend a lot of time learning much about this stuff as a group. You know, this is like an individual, somebody might get an interest in a thing.
Right.
There's so many things connected, like with with Grimm's new show, everything's all connected in the long run. It's just, where are they connected to that? That's the trickery and deception comes from the state teaching us bullshit that's not true, so we can't find out what it is you've tripped over. And like you've said 100 times, it's old knowledge. You just found it. You discovered it.
Yeah.
It's been there all along.
Yeah. And most of it is pure logic.
Yes.
There's no science to it. It's all the logical way of things.
Math, yeah. But a lot of math, too. And symbolism.
Everything has to follow logic. Or,
well, what's the result?
If it's not true.
It just ends up in chaos, and then the system doesn't recognize that. they got to blame shit for what they did on purpose.
If you can't explain it to a sister, a 6-year-old, you don't really understand it.
Yeah, there you go. That's about everything. Okay, see you guys next week.
Okay, back to what we were talking about. You were talking about the circuit. This circuit doesn't get hot, and the reason it doesn't get hot is because it's creating these magnetic flows, these magnetic circuits. And that's when I asked Larry, has anybody done any kind of study on the density of the magnetic lines of flux and what do you call it, the Weber force?
The Weber force, yeah.
W-E-B-E-R?
W-E-B-E-R.
Okay.
And you can look that up. That's a proved scientific fact.
Okay.
For all you people that I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's settled science.
Yeah. it's agreed upon science.
There you go. Anyways,
but
so the Weber force and the lines of flux, what's the difference and why?
That I do not know.
I have no idea why the force is even there.
Wow. I know that the magnetic lines of force are where you can read the strength of the magnet. If you get in between the lines of force, you don't get the full strength of what that magnet is. That's why your Gauss meter will change as you get closer and farther away, and there are different spots in it that aren't as much.
That's
the Weber force that you're reading.
So, Larry, let me ask you, did you already explain this through the show or not? There's a difference between a magnetic connection and an electrical connection.
Absolutely.
And you can mix the two together if you do it properly?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I was following, because it's some technical stuff you're talking
about. Good questions.
If you move a magnet past any conductor, or a conductor past the magnet, either way, there is a charge generated in that conductor. Well, what we've done is by inducing a magnetic field, the magnetic field induces itself between the different circuits, and those circuits induce an electric field into the electrical portion of the circuit simply because of magnetic induction. And you can't induce it without moving the magnet. Well,
you're turning the magnetic lines of flux into a conductor.
Yeah. Well, sort of, kind of, but not exactly. The magnetic lines of flux induces the interaction of the electrons in the other circuit.
So when you bring certain materials together in a certain
distance... I think we need to leave electrons out of it.
You're not getting electrons out of it. You're inducing them to interact with one another.
Well, I know we believe that electrons are doing something, but you and I both agreed that they don't. They never leave their atoms.
Yeah, they sit right there.
So you're really inducing a magnetic effect, an electron effect.
Yeah, the magnetic effect makes those electrons interact with one another. Because
it's not the electrons, it's the magnetic field.
Yeah, the magnetic field causes what we would call the electron flow, but that's the electron exchange of information from one electron to another.
Which
the magnetic field simply pushes
magnetic
it. It gives it a current, makes it flow.
It's a magnetic push.
Yeah.
So you can create a magnetic field by using the magnets properly, on purpose.
Yeah.
So it's a matter of positioning materials to get a response out of the materials.
Right.
And people are seriously arguing about the results of what they see with their own eyes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, in the case of this Cambridge guy, he hasn't seen it with his own eyes because he refuses to actually build it because he don't believe it'll work.
He's got three quarters of it built, and he's already showing magnetic induction from one set into the other.
He hit his coward bone. Yeah.
Maybe you scared him. He said, "Oh my, this might work, and this is going to blow everything I ever thought I knew away."
Yeah,
and I'm going to be laughing stock.
We've already had two guys in the group say that they're going to have to give up all their degrees.
Yeah.
Wow. And these guys are like work for DOD and places like that.
It's amazing, isn't it, Larry?
Yeah.
You know, because from a simpleton point of view, I've for years have claimed everything that I've ever been taught is based on total bullshit. And I just know it by looking at the results of what I see without the ability to explain it, like you're doing with the electricity. I don't have that ability to tell other people, well, this is how it's fucked up. I just know it is. But can't seem to get the point across to them that what's wrong is almost the opposite of what you believe is wrong.
Okay, and let me.
This is a good example of that particular argument.
Yeah. Let me explain a little bit about it.
Please do.
I just told you that everything has the three properties: vibration, electricity, and magnetism. Okay. The Hallback array not moving, we don't see it move. We're not physically moving it. But it's sitting there vibrating at a magnetic frequency. The copper that it's next to is also vibrating at a magnetic frequency because there are 12 circuits in the coil that we've got it, that Hallback array in. That gives you 12 volts AC. It's alternating current because it is a vibrating system. You can't see it vibrate, but it's vibrating on a subatomic level. That's what makes that work. And it's all pure logic.
Hmm.
This is not electrical science. This is logical science.
What is the property that makes each of those circuits generate 1 volt?
Ah, that's the frequency of vibration between the Hallback array magnets and the copper wire.
Okay.
And since there are 12 circuits, if it was only 9 circuits, it would give you 9 volts.
It would give you 1 volt per circuit.
Yeah, 1 volt per circuit.
Right. So if you had 120 circuits, you could generate 120 volt AC.
Yeah.
Or 110 circuits or whatever.
Yeah.
But, okay, so you've got a 12 circuit coil. What's that, an 18 inch?
The actual one that they've got that's 12 circuit is on the 8 inch coil.
You got 12 circuits on an 8 inch coil?
Yeah, it's tight and they use little tiny wire on it.
36 gauge wire or something?
Yeah, well, I think they use 24 gauge on it. But yeah, it's really, really tight.
Okay. All right, so they're running this on an 8 inch coil. So running 12 circuits.
But this particular coil, it's wired differently. It's not a flat coil like ours. It's, think about stacking 12 pancake coils in a circle.
Okay.
Vertically, not horizontally.
Okay.
And that's what this does. This is 12 pancake coils. Each one inducing into the one next to it, which induces more into the one next to it, and it increases all the way around. And that keeps the magnetic field mostly in the ring of that toroid. It lets why I call this a Saturn coil, is because there is a fine equatorial outside equator magnetic field that's projected from this thing. In the center, there's almost zero magnetic field because all of those, there's no flux to go that direction except a little bit, just off that one outside wire.
Right. What I'm getting down to is, what's the length of the wire? What is the length of each circuit? There's got to be a formula in there.
Based on your
Hallback array and its vibratory frequency and the length of the wire that you're using, and then of course the configuration that you have it in to generate 1 volt per wire. I mean, does that ever change?
Oh yeah.
So you if you double the length of wire, would you get 2 volts out of it? Is my point.
Possibly. I don't think so. I think it's the number of circuits that's involved with this.
Okay. So it varies based on the number of circuits.
Yeah, the number of circuits and the wraps of the wire.
Which comes down to the length of the wire.
Yeah. Yeah, and okay. I think that there's 54 feet of wire on each circuit.
54 feet?
That's not right.
24. On an 8-inch coil? Well, that's using my other calculations, which were wrong. So it'd be even shorter than that, I think.
Yeah. It's like 18 feet.
Only has one wrap around per wrap.
Yeah, I think that's 18 feet of wire on that.
Okay. And you're talking about the donut the size Rob was working with.
Yeah,
same size donut, but a different configuration.
Absolutely. Right, but the size makes a big difference.
Same, yeah.
If it was any smaller, you would have big trouble wrapping it.
Yeah.
Well, you have to use smaller wire.
And smaller wire.
Well, that's what... Okay, that's... See, you guys know how to say it better. I'm going to stop.
Well, yeah, you get too much smaller than that. there's no way you'd be able to wrap it. You'd get to the point where it'd be real tedious.
But this... Listening to you guys talk about this, I find myself comparing it to art a lot of times. I don't completely understand something. I was looking at my cup on the table. Whoops, incoming. And I thought, if I took a black marker and put a big line across it, it would change the whole concept of the picture. So the same applies to when you're making a coil. If you don't do it properly, your result is going to be not correct.
Exactly.
Right. Well, there you go. But see, in art, not correct is unpleasant to the eye. To one person, somebody else looks at it and they love it. But with electricity, it's a standard. This is the way it works, period. No choice.
Oh, okay.
But you can do shitty versions of it, but those will never be right. Correct?
Those will never be the optimal design.
Right, right.
Another property of these coils is that they eliminate the eddy currents that are in normal coils. Eddy current is a place that heats up, that causes it to draw more amperage to operate, which costs you more money. We've eliminated those simply by... Hold your fingers out again, flat. Your fingers touch. Hold them together.
Not letting your wires overlap.
Yeah, no wires overlap. There's no gaps in between them. If there's a gap, and it looks ugly, and there's a gap between your wires, that's going to be a spot that heats up. And we've eliminated that by putting the wires touching one another. If you don't want to collapse your magnetic field, you don't let them overlap any place.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly what I was figuring
out. So the gaps,
why I compared it to art.
Collapse the field. Does that create heat too?
No, collapsing the field just doesn't let it do what it can do.
Right.
It limits the ability of that magnetic field.
More heat.
And it creates the eddy current. The whole point of this whole coil wrap program is to avoid that very one pitfall, to be specific.
Yeah.
That's the doorway to success is to cut the heat and the waste out.
That's why we designed them the way that we did.
Ah, okay. And then still, we're not lucky enough to have all this stuff open for everybody to take a snoop at. So it's kind of, we're all up in the air waiting.
Yeah, we're just talking about it.
Yeah, well, but we're in the air waiting.
To most people, yeah. But that's cool. You guys are going to get it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, how was your meeting?
The Monday meeting report.
Did y'all do anything besides worry about Cambridge guy?
Yeah, we did a lot of stuff. The guys out there that know about the different inventors, we've got a group working on a Bedini motor, three-phase Bedini motor.
That's a magnetic motor that they use in like a dryer, like a clothes dryer.
Right.
Simply to turn the tub. Well, this circuit that we've described today will power that three-phase Bedini motor
right.
without outside electricity, without right. a mains power supply.
Yeah.
Which means that it'll turn forever for free.
And that's not just running off of the 12-volt spiral coil.
Yeah. That's off the 12-volt spiral coil. And this is simply a component coil. This eliminates the electronics that does the switching that burns up.
Right.
If you go through a MOSFET or a transistor to do all the switching, you can't leave it on for more than 5 minutes before it burns up. And that's the expensive ones.
Yeah.
I've got a weird question for you, too, because you have a little bit of education with your electrical information. How did they explain the eddy current to you that got you interested in removing it? You know, what made it clear to you that that was waste and it wasn't a necessary product of creating electricity?
Well,
is that a clear question or not?
No, that's a good question.
Oh, okay.
Right. Every transformer in buildings that transform the high voltage coming in from the power line into low voltage that you can use or lower voltage that you can use heats up a lot. And that heat is converted into, that's waste. That's the waste of your electrical circuit is the heat. That's wattage. Wattage is power consumed.
Yeah, but what made it clear to you in the first place that avoiding that somehow would fix what you think you fixed?
Because,
you said theory. What's just interesting to me that, what I was taught was normal, for example. I grew up, I'm a grown man. Now all of a sudden there's another way to look at this. No, that's actually waste from doing it incorrectly.
Yeah.
Well, how did they avoid that topic of fixing that problem for how many years has it been? Almost 100?
Advertising. GE's coils, their normal coils, their normal transformers are 60% efficient. All I wanted to do was increase the efficiency. How do you do that? You eliminate the waste heat coming off.
You're trying to build a better mousetrap.
So yeah. There's no way to not see this, Eddie.
I think
as
the question Flash is really trying to get at is what clued you into the fact that the gaps in the and overlapping wires were creating this, or is it something you discovered after building the
messing with it? Yeah, experimentation.
No. I know how a regular regular transformer is wired, how it's wound.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sloppy as hell.
Yeah,
they don't have smooth layers.
They just
overlap
that.
Back and forth, and they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it causes the heat. I knew that's what caused the heat, the eddy currents. I knew that the iron core in them...
When did you learn that? Stop.
When did I learn that?
You said you knew... Okay, you said you were trying to improve transformers. Because they were getting 60% efficiency, you were trying to beat that, and you knew that the heat was waste and it was caused by these eddy currents. Where did you learn that? When did you first figure out that eddy currents and the gaps and overlaps is what's causing all this?
That all comes from the angular relationship chart that Kirchhoff has with Kirchhoff's laws. Once I understood Kirchhoff's law, then all this fell in place.
So
it was just part of your studies.
It's
the way that you
see. Is that something you study in mainstream school, or is that something you studied on your own?
Well,
what'd you just
I had one deeper than that, Rob.
I had one professor from Iran that taught me Kirchhoff's law.
So
and once I understood it, I would sit in on his classes, and he would let me draw the angular diagram on the board for him.
Okay. And the nerd.
I was the nerd, you bet.
You bet.
And I almost flunked a couple of classes because I would skip them and go to his class just so that I could draw it on the board.
Oh, check out the chat there, Rob. Somebody thinks
he says I missed your questions.
I have a hard time with the chat myself.
Yeah,
I saw that.
I get into talking and I don't look at the chat. They're talking about Prince Harry and shit, so I just don't even pay attention to it. So.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot so much, Larry. It's just that if it's so obvious to you, how did everybody else not notice? It's like my gift for drawing. People go, how the hell do you do that? I don't know. I just can't. So I'm starting to see Larry as one of those with the electric. There's no reason for it. He just does.
Okay.
It's his gift. Yeah.
It's mostly logic.
True. But hands-on helps. Oh, man, so much.
Okay.
You know,
yeah, you've got to have the background. I mean,
and a little bit of spine, too, because electricity can hurt you if you don't handle it properly.
You've got to know that's what the background is for. That's where you don't get bit.
Yeah.
Let me address Moose's question real quick.
Oh, there's the question Moose has for us.
Her question, she asks, is Larry afraid to release the schematics, or is he afraid of theft of the idea? Or maybe that's not the right word.
The reason Larry's not
publishing stuff right now is because these things can be dangerous.
That's the main reason right
and
there.
And he wants to be sure and have all of the possibilities of things that can happen figured out first, and then he wants to get it all written into a safety manual of things to do and not do and so forth.
We have released the demon, and that demon will kill you if you don't know the safety procedures, how to ground it, and how to stay the same potential as your work.
Yes. And this next hour, I'm fixing to bring it up. We're going to talk a lot about that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's like giving 2 6-year-olds a shotgun.
It's not a matter of being afraid or not wanting to release it because... He's afraid of losing a patent or whatever. I think
dangerous.
Tried to patent it, and I don't know if you want to get into all that. Do you, Larry?
We can. Yeah, I'm not afraid of them anymore.
Okay, well, Larry tried to patent this already, and he got a visit. And they basically told him cease and desist. Larry?
Yeah. Yeah,
there you go.
So we know what you're doing. Quit.
Yeah.
But before they came, when we fired up our big coil, it puts out a linear magnetic beam that goes about 5 miles at 3 volts, and the helicopters would come over and come low enough over the house that it shook my windows.
So they were detecting it.
Yeah, they were reading it. It probably was messing up their radar. They were probably seeing it on radar.
Now, is this before you put a Faraday cage around it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were actually blasting yourself with this radiation, too.
Well, that particular coil doesn't have any peripheral magnetic field. You can't move the needle of a compass around the outside perimeter of that coil, only over the vortex. And that's where I came up with don't look into the eye of the Gorgon.
Okay.
From Fantastic Planet.
But this linear beam coming out of the equator of it, that's what you were talking about.
Yeah, it comes out the hole in the donut.
Oh.
The coil that we talked about today... That one has one that comes out the outside equator. And that's one of the reasons this is a dangerous coil. We're operating it at extremely low voltage. If you put high voltage to this, it will have a magnetic field coming out the equator on the outside of that thing like a knife.
Yeah.
It could very well damage you.
Yeah.
And that's another reason. The safety manuals have got to be written, and they've got to be followed.
Let's see. Yeah, it's... this girl posted something about Tesla's wireless power transmission stuff. And she's asking, is it similar to that?
It could be. I don't want to use this as wireless transmission because it's too easy to distort the frequencies. If you use it for wireless transmission and the frequencies aren't right, it will kill you. It will make you sterile. It will make you have hallucinations.
That's so similar to giving 2 6-year-olds a shotgun and some shells.
Yeah.
You might get lucky and they won't figure it out.
To answer your question, Ms. Grohl, the reason he hasn't released it yet is because of the implications
safety
of
issues.
Safety problems. I'm not even sure it's something that should be released. It's some.
I don't know, Rob. It's like making guns illegal. It's a matter of most folk wouldn't be interested.
Between a gun, though, and something that can split the planet.
Right. But most your average Joe is never going to touch this part of electricity, and the guys that already do, they already know. They know how dangerous electricity is, so if they wanted to be making bombs and shooting weapons, they'd do it.
Electricity.
But it's not going to inspire anybody to become a...
Let's go ahead and get into it. The Hutchinson effect.
Uh-oh. I was backing it in my mouth, man.
Okay.
I talked to you earlier, Larry, and I know that you're familiar with John Hutchinson.
Yeah.
And his work and his what he's done, and you're familiar with scalar weapons?
Yes.
And so
scalar weapon. Let me define scalar. Scalar is the magnetic field. The ambient magnetic field or the directed magnetic field. That is scalar. That's what everybody calls scalar. It's not something magical that just happens to appear.
No,
I have 54 milliaught gauss of ambient magnetic field in the room that I'm sitting in. That's scalar wave.
Yeah. Well, based on Hutchinson's research and stuff, and he's actually worked with the military and stuff, and so we know that they have this.
There's two different kinds of electricity. There's transverse and there's longitudinal. Transverse is one electric field crossing or passing by another electric field.
Mm-hmm.
Longitudinal is the magnetic field that goes at 90 degrees to that electric field. We are using the longitudinal magnetic field to induce into these coils.
Right.
It's not scalar waves. It's the longitudinal magnetic field.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I mean, I wasn't really trying to connect what you're doing with this stuff. This is a separate topic that I wanted to get into because... you would have a much better, clearer understanding of it than anybody here.
Okay. He's using really high frequency and high voltage to break the molecular bonds of the metal. That's why the metal becomes porous.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the metal twists. He's breaking the molecular bonds of that metal. It's right. really neat, and when you get the proper frequency, that material will levitate. When you cancel the subatomic frequency of any material, that material loses mass. That's just the way it is.
Loses cohesion.
Yeah. Mass and cohesion.
It basically disintegrates.
Yeah.
Which is what they did to the towers on 9/11, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what they did in the Philadelphia Project.
Yeah, that's when they were first learning about it.
Wow. So he's doing some really nifty stuff, but if you look at John Hutchison, he doesn't look well.
Yeah. He does look kind of sickly, doesn't he?
Yeah. And I think that that's probably because of the fields that he's
been
creating
himself to stuff for decades, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it won't kill you instantly sometimes, but sometimes it will. But it will harm you.
I think I'm going to reach out to him and see if he'll come on the show.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to him.
Did you see the Hutchison effect link I put up on the not notes, but on the wire for you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, is that what inspired you to bring it? Because I thought that was amazing
was that
what
you
I saw.
That put those,
yeah, I put it on.
Put it on?
Maybe it was Larry. I caught it. I don't know.
I put it on.
Larry put a couple of links up there.
With the metal that, where it goes into itself, and it looks like it's amazing. Like, wow, how do you cut that precisely?
Yeah, this is just done with
frequency.
That's what I mean by we've just been kept in the dark about stuff that if we would have had more time to pursue it in the open, it would be more available to us than it is. It's like digging for a rock in a mountain. It's not made easy for us.
Oh, fuck.
Now,
what the fuck about a yellow star on his hat? So what?
What guy?
I don't know.
It's really interesting when he's
doing. A yellow star on his hat. I don't even know what picture you're talking about, much less who gives a fuck. We're talking about electric.
Ouch!
I mean, really.
I don't know. It could just be making a joke.
I don't know.
Don't get too excited.
What he's talking about. Yeah, you know, I just, yeah.
You get too excited. Have a giggle once in a while, you maniac.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But I understand your thought. Some things aren't meant to be understood.
Okay, so he just raised
technologies, I feel.
Okay, so this is a whole nother video that we didn't even post. He's in a studio with somebody. It looks like a freaking sheriff's badge to me.
Don't know.
It's a six-pointed star. So, whatever.
I don't know. Hutchison has a yellow star on his hat in the video. I don't know. Didn't watch the live radio right now.
Looks like a gold star. Looks like a sheriff's fucking badge. Maybe he thinks
sense
he's
of humor. I don't know.
Oh,
I told you, people are into symbolism. You've been watching all that stuff on TV where everything's
whatever.
A symbol. You know, put your hand a certain way and it's a sign of something.
That may be the gold star that the teacher gave him.
We're getting conditioned, though, guys. Don't forget that.
Yeah.
To not be conditioned is to be a stray of the herd. Get in line, damn it.
Anyway.
Don't make me get mean. No fishing report this week, guys. No fishing report.
But thanks for this video. I hadn't seen this yet. So, yeah, I'll be watching that.
What? Larry? Or was that me or Larry?
What?
I get confused because I post stuff all the time.
I posted the original Hutchison stuff on.
There you go.
Why?
See? He inspired me, so when I see it now, I'm aware of it.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty... It's hard to do. I don't think very good anymore. I'm a slow anyway, old man now.
it's just common sense stuff.
Oh, that's don't awesome. Start with the facts and shit. Larry, you got to think with your crazy side for a minute. You know, be emotional.
Don't ever be afraid to try.
Oh, yeah, that too. I see your point, mister. Because most of my life has been, hey, give that a shot and see what happens.
Just like I tell my buddies, you can't catch fish unless that plug's in the water.
That's right. Or, yeah, if you're sitting in your living room.
Plug in the boat.
You got to go out.
You definitely got to have a plug in the boat.
You really want to go with the fish of the boat there, don't you?
I really kill people for doing that, and I did it once.
What are we forgetting?
I don't know.
We just got distracted
because somebody had a star on their hat.
Yeah,
it happens. I know you're.
What does that have to do with scalar waves or
anything
to do with what we're talking about?
I don't. Wow, Mr. Fancy. I don't know. I just observe and report, Rob. I don't make decisions here. I leave that to the professionals.
But like you were saying, John looks like, well, and if you're watching his mannerisms and stuff, you can tell he's been exposed to some shit.
Yeah, he just doesn't look as healthy as he could be.
Yeah.
But then I don't either, so...
You've been around fields all your life too.
Yeah.
You know.
See.
Yeah. How long has it been since you started even being aware of and cautionary of what kind of fields you're subjecting yourself to?
During my working life, there was no consideration of that at all. Only since we've been making coils have I even considered the fields as they put out.
Right. What kind of fields are we being subjected to? No, it's going to lead into 5G, obviously. But what kind of fields are we being subject to, unbeknownst to us, or anybody, really? Because nobody's even thought about it.
Okay, let's talk about frequency. Everything's got frequency, right? Everything vibrates. That's frequency.
Right.
Okay. Each human being has its own specific frequency that's like a fingerprint, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But each human being falls within a range of frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's a little bit different, but you're within a range.
Yeah.
If that range and all your organs have their own frequency as well.
Every cell.
So if you,
down to every cell, yeah.
Yeah. So if you disrupt that frequency with another frequency, that's either going to damage something or completely destroy it.
Right.
And that's what 5G is doing. Okay. Frequency is times per second.
Mm-hmm.
That's what frequency is. How many times it pulses per second. Gigahertz, giga means million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If you take a little tiny, tiny tap hammer and tap on a concrete block over and over and over and over, pretty soon, just easy... Pretty soon there's going to be a hole in that concrete block. You may have to hit it 1,000 times to get that hole in there,
mm-hmm.
but the frequency is going to make a hole in that block. That's
right.
What it's doing to your cell wall.
Yeah.
But it's doing
it
at millions of times per second.
Yeah, exactly.
Frequency is an identification method? Or it could be used that way?
Yeah.
Like your name or your whatever number.
I've heard things about that.
Wow. Well, okay. Well, I'm still stuck on this, Rob. We're how can there be so many frequencies that each of us would have our special own? How does that work?
There may be two people that have the same frequency.
Yeah,
as
just like there's
all right, right. But out of everybody, they're normally different. But then everybody has got a different fingerprint, and all fingerprints have basically a similar pattern. So,
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
Sub-frequency, sideband.
Okay. No, I'm not familiar with that at all.
Yeah.
So what I got out of it was that you specifically said we could be identified by our frequency.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, then why do they waste their time with all this other shit they do? Is that readily available?
It could be. They just don't have the equipment.
They don't want to release it.
It's easier to put carbon on your finger and roll it on a paper.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, but fingerprints aren't as they're not as accurate as TV and movies make them sound.
They're actually inadmissible in court as evidence.
Inadmissible?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't been to court on a murder charge, but most of the films that I've seen, they misrepresent all the shit to us.
Oh, yeah. They're legit. The movies ain't real, folks.
They
put shit in there that's exactly wrong just to make you believe shit that's exactly wrong, because so you don't know what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. So they have something to intimidate you with.
Wow, and here we sit in the middle of a whatever it is, and you still have people supporting it, telling you to behave.
That's what blows my mind. How much more fucking obvious does it need to get? They're all a bunch of mass murderers.
Okay, so in the long run, though, somebody is getting them people, the ones you just mentioned, on a frequency that they're comfortable with somehow then, right? I mean, even if you're a piece of shit, you're out there in the world being your piece of shit, breaking stuff and burning stuff. There's got to be a frequency to drive that. Otherwise, where would it come from?
440. Hitler produced it. Hitler changed the world from 432 to 440. It may not have been him, but it was during his reign.
Right, and they never corrected it.
No, because
it's always
still run by the damn Nazis.
Right, and it's always just been an understood, well, this is the way it is. Nobody's ever stepped forward and said, let's put it back to where it should be. Nobody ever does.
That's exactly why we're tuning all of our stuff to 54 cycles. 54 times 8 is 432. That will put you back in harmony with nature, and none of this stuff, eventually, when we all get switched over to it, it will not hurt you.
Hi, Donna.
Yeah, it seems pretty clear to me that the way of life is a result of the bad input, you know, the fuels, the food, the electricity, the water. They're so fucking tainted and sent us to us on such shitty ways that we're just getting the minimum out of it. Mm-hmm. If we were given 100%, we would be better people.
Yeah.
But we're not taught that stuff, but if you ever read the ingredients on a, you know, an inoculation, it'll make your stomach go boop.
Yeah.
half the damn shit I had to look up on the internet to find out what it was after I read it, because I mean, what the hell is that? And then you find out what they're sticking in you, and no, I ain't doing that. Then you have some other idiot say, well, if you don't get your shot, I got mine, so I want to be safe from you, so you have to get one too. When the whole point of it was, I thought you got a shot for that. What's with expecting me to do it? And it seems like we've just been watching too much television. You know, like the electricity being a bad source of power isn't a common thing. People don't know that.
Hitler knew that if you give me your children until they're 8 years old, they'll be Nazis for the rest of their lives. Indoctrination.
And I don't know what kind of indoctrination. You can call it whatever you like. The results suck, you know? But still, the end results are so obviously fucked up. The world is in a shithole as a world, and yet people overlook the nasty side of it and seem to think of it as a necessary evil. you know, for the balance, we have to have evil and good and war to get peace. All these stupid ideas they got because they eat the wrong shit and they use the shitty electricity.
You got to put the right fuel in your body. You are a motor. You are an engine that's running. You're an electrical generator. If you don't have the right fuel, you're not generating at the proper frequency. Fluoride in your water to keep you dumb. Chlorine in your water to kill the good bacteria in your stomach. It's all part of the system that they want to keep you dumbed down.
Yeah, yeah. They did a pretty good job with me. Wow, I thought I'd get a laugh out of Rob on that one.
I don't think you're dumb at all.
Oh, come on. There's plenty of people that do.
Anybody that's willing to open their mind and even contemplate other things is 10 steps ahead of these fucking morons that vote.
We've been just beaten into submission to claim rights that don't exist. It's stupid. And once I stepped back and looked at it and went, wow, that is stupid. I wasn't the only one. But being on the internet, it's easier to find people that go, wow, this whole thing's ridiculous.
I have one more topic I want to bring up.
Okay. Is there a link?
I'm fixing to put it in.
Okay. Link me, Rob Works. Link me.
So, I'm sure you've heard of Thomas Bearden, Larry?
Yeah.
Okay. I just put a link in the chat there. They've got a deal called the Motionless Electromagnetic Generator. Familiar with that?
Absolutely.
Talk about it.
Yes. It is magnetic and electric. It, I don't like it, okay? And the reason that I don't like it, it's functional. It works. But the reason that I don't like it is because it's got an iron core.
Mm-hmm.
Once that iron core saturates, that system cannot do anything more. That's the only problem I've got with it. Once that iron core saturates magnetically, that limits the function.
Is there any way?
Wait, wait. Well, what exactly saturate? What? How do you use that in a simple way? What does that mean? Like drowns in? You know, saturate. I'm not sure how it works.
Okay. There's only so much magnetic energy that these ferrite cores can handle. That they can consume. Once they get to that maximum amount,
okay,
they stop consuming and start generating heat.
Okay, got it. Yeah.
So
the generating heat part I didn't get.
What's it doing? Turning them into a magnet?
Say it again.
Is it actually turning it into a magnet?
Yeah. Yeah.
And is that what that means? That when it's saturated, it's a full-blown magnet?
Yeah, then when it's saturated, it's the strongest magnet that it can become.
So if you disconnected it and took that whole thing out, that thing would be a strong magnet at that point.
Yeah. Take that iron core out of it, and that electrical output would be a lot larger than it is.
Yeah.
So you could use smaller wire, smaller everything. It would not generate heat. The air core is the way to go.
Yeah.
Therefore, you can switch at infinite speed.
I wasn't trying to compare. I was just trying to get an idea of what
you're saying. No, that's the only thing I don't like about it. It's a really good system. And you guys that want to make one, they're easy to make.
Yeah.
Round and round and round. That's all you got to know.
Yeah, you know, they don't have to be flat.
Yeah, you don't have to follow any pattern. You don't have to do anything special. Just round and round and round.
Yeah. So they're easy enough to make. That's why. Now, they're only getting a very slight increase in
There you go.
As well.
You have to
get about a 20% gain.
Yeah.
is what I remember seeing the numbers here somewhere. But
yeah, they're getting 1.2 out for one going in.
Yeah.
And we're getting 10 out for one going in.
Yeah, big difference.
And that's on the single Mobius. The triple Mobius will get 30 out for one going in.
Yeah, so they're putting in 6 watts, getting out 35.
And it also says that it was created on the 11th or the 18th of November in 2000.
Yeah,
and the last update was in 2002.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just
so. This is old stuff.
This particular page is, but yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's
well, this is how amazed I am.
There's tons of this shit's been around for a long time. I've known about this stuff for years and years.
I mean, yeah, who's using old technology and capturing the spike?
Right.
He's capturing the counter EMF. We do not have any counter EMF in our equipment.
So there's
zero
capture.
No spikes.
Yeah. But it's just another one of those examples of, you know, if you didn't have your coils, this would be a very exciting thing.
Yeah. It's great.
Any kind of over-unity is amazing if you ask the guy at Cambridge, right?
Yeah, it's going to save you money.
Yeah.
But it's going to save you money by capturing the bad stuff that you're generating.
Right. As
what do you want to do? Do you want it all clean with no spikes?
Sounds like banking to me.
Do you want your equipment to last longer?
No, I want your equipment to go out as quickly as possible so you can come get another one. I'm Jewish. Thought you knew that.
Yeah, we don't want repeat business.
Well, you don't appeal to my Jew bone when you say that, but I like the way it sounds in a way.
One time and you're done.
Yes, well, there's a concept, you know. That goes back to like Sears Craftsman Tools. And that's all gone. People wouldn't even know what you're talking about now. Tools that last forever, what?
And if they don't, bring it back. We'll give you a new one.
Or remember when you could tell the Snap-on guy you dropped a socket and you couldn't get to it, and they'd just give you a socket?
Yep.
This one's on the house. They must have had a...
Those days are over.
Yeah, but that's the way we were. And now look at us.
Yeah.
We're all fighting over who can make the best electronic gizmachi. Instead of everybody getting together to make the best one that's possible to make, we're competing with each other. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's never going to go anywhere because of it, the premise. Fighting for dollars does not get you the best product.
Never.
Sadly. Well, it's maybe in basketball.
Society.
Well,
that's what I call it.
Horse racing.
I'm old and cheap. I'm old and cheap. You can use 10 wire sizes smaller and achieve the same amperage output with our equipment.
Exactly. That's another beautiful thing.
You just made a major, major dent in the world economy.
Yeah. A 1,500 milliamp iron core costs $105. An air core is free. Our donuts, if we pay to have them made, would be, by the way, I just got a 3D printer.
Soon
to be more fun things.
Oh,
but if you've got a 3D printer or somebody that'll make one for you, your donut will cost $50, okay? Maybe. Probably not.
Not even.
Okay, so you've got a cheap core there. It's not $105.
You're talking $5.
Okay, great. So we've got a $5 core that's air core. We've got maybe $2 or $3 worth of wire on it, and you're done.
Yeah. It's more like $20 or $30 worth of wire. So yeah, you're looking at $30 maybe tops. And if you're buying, that's if you're buying a wire in small rolls too. If you buy it in bulk, you're going to get a lot cheaper too.
Oh no!
If you buy 500 rolls of wire, then yeah, you'd be getting it down there even cheaper. Same with the plastic filament. You can get it even cheaper.
Yeah.
So, cool. Well, that means that you'll be getting the 3D files for the donuts.
Uh-huh. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I may even start rapping again.
Yep. I'll be getting the 3D files, and I'll be making some of these that I've only tested through other people's.
Right.
Cool. Which is okay, because I don't have to do any of the work.
Larry, go ahead.
On this, the Meg project, right? I was reading the under it. It says, this one works beautifully and produces blah, blah, blah. But it says, this one. So, I thought, 20 years, these people have been in business for 20 years at least, whatever's beyond that. So, in the last 18 years, how far could they have come with what they've done 18 years ago, right? Now, then there's my first thinking, which led me into, I just remember the oil business was, they were so fucked up, they were minus 35 a barrel for oil. Yeah. And they were blaming it on everything in the world. And then I see this and think, maybe there's more businesses using electromagnets, blah, 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 whatever, however you define this kind of
alternative motion, resources.
Yeah, electromagnetic generators than we're told. So we're still thinking they're all burning oil when a good chunk of them went to electromagnetics. And we weren't, you know, unless you look for this stuff, how do you find out about it? You know? You're not. It's not on the internet as far as like being thrown at your face.
No, on
like
an advertisement. Or anything, no, you got to do
so it. Right, but we get all these headlines in the news to take us in directions, and I never even knew that they did this. They've been doing this for at least 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that means that it's a big world. I've only seen a little bit of it.
You remember back when we did the show with Jerry Decker? We talked about it. Keeley. You're familiar with Keeley, right?
Yeah.
Me? No, I'm Larry. Not.
I'm Larry. Yeah.
Keeley was into harmonics and sound frequency. He built machines that would levitate when he played a harmonica at them.
Once again, it's all about frequency. You can cancel out. If you cancel out the subatomic frequency, you cancel the mass.
Right.
Damn. Levitation.
Yeah. It's the mass that holds
it. On him. He had a machine, and they were real interested. And then when he, I forget what happened with him, but they took all his shit, basically. Same thing they did with Tesla.
Yep. Yep. And that's all because of the influence of oil.
They took his shit.
Yep.
He had to completely start over and rebuild from scratch.
Yep.
Because they took all his shit.
Government protecting me. Thank you, government.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, I feel so
they're protecting
special.
Somebody, but it ain't you.
No? Aw. I'm going to ruin my
it's
whole day. Thanks,
me.
Mr. Buzzkill.
Yeah, they're protecting somebody.
They're not protecting me, Rob. Are you sure?
No, they don't give a fuck about you. Haven't you watched George Carlin? They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you.
Wow. Put it like that, you make me all excited. Now I want them to give a fuck about me.
They changed the word graph.
You don't
want to
get the legal.
They made craft illegal, and now they call it lobbying, and it's just
Yeah. Just bribery.
Yeah.
my people know how to fuck everybody all at the same time, except the Muslims. Because the Muslims do their own separate banking. That's why we've been at war with them forever.
Muslims have no usury.
As soon as we get it, you guys will be the first.
They do make a they make a profit. It don't, you know, don't let that go by. I mean, it's just not as devastating as the Jew profit. You know, 180% is just a little bit too much, people.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with the my own. But hey, but what they do is they charge for a service similar to our bank. It's just not as exorbitant.
You folks out there with credit cards, remember that if you pay 20% interest on your unpaid balance monthly, that means that every 5 months, that balance doubles.
Yeah.
Something to the point of usury. And people actually beg to do this. Oh, please let me have a card, Mr. Banker. Oh, no. And then there's the other side of it, where the bank is dependent on you for income, so they offer you the card.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like drug dealers. Here's a free sample.
Yeah, exactly. That is paying them stupid things off every month so you don't have that service charge. It's a free card like I do and pay it off every single month like I do, and you never pay that interest.
You don't have
the money, don't spend it.
We actually use credit cards for everything.
Those days are over. Now the government's got to bail the population out with an unemployment check now.
Yeah.
And they're going along with it. I don't think they understand how drastic this will be. When the Rothschilds want to collect their freaking debt, they're going to be wishing they never borrowed the money in the first place.
Yeah. My girlfriend declared bankruptcy about 8 years ago. And about 3 years ago, maybe four, I had her get a credit card and start using it for everything, just like we would if we were paying cash or debit card. But we'd pay for it with the credit card and then pay the credit card off at the end of every month. She's got 770 credit now.
So, yeah, most people don't have the resources to actually live within their means.
You use it to build credit. Pay that off every month. Don't ever do the minimum payment.
Well, you hang in there, Rod. I think it's over, but they're just on they're on the tail of this monsoon. It's going to crash.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, where everybody sees it, not just some of us.
Yeah, it's kind of late in the day advice there, but yeah.
Yeah, well, too late. I've been saying it I was 2 years off. I thought it would be 18 would be the, whatever this corona crap truly is something disguised as a corona, whatever. I knew that was going to happen, but I was 2 years premature, but it finally hit.
No, you're not dumb.
He just plays around with us sometimes. Don't mind.
It's hard. It's hard to picture this. I mean, remember all the steps we went through just to get me to understand? And even then, I had it wrong.
Yeah.
Until I actually saw the picture.
Yeah, yeah. That's what he's asking for. He wants the same thing. Because it's hard to imagine. That's what my problem is, too.
We can't. It's too dangerous to just let it go out there like that.
Yeah, because this was weapon-grade technology in the first place. Of course, anything can be turned into a weapon anyway. This is particularly dangerous.
Our youngest partner built a rail gun out of these coils that shoots a 6-inch iron gutter spike through a 2x4 halfway at 90 feet.
Wow.
And that's like touching it one time, just instantaneously touching it to a 12-volt battery.
Wow.
Yes.
So this thing...
Yes,
there's serious implications involved. Yeah.
But I still think that the bulk of the guys and gals out there that are interested in this particular idea in the first place, very few of them would pursue it to weapons. And that's a once-in-a-while kind of nut job.
It only takes one.
Well, maybe so. But,
it only takes one
you want to live in safety, then go to America.
One kid got cut on a metal truck when he was little, and the mama sued him, and now they can't make metal trucks anymore.
Yeah.
When I was little and got cut on my toys, it was my damn fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be a dumbass. Dumbass.
Don't be a weakling. Oh. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
It's all your fault, Rob.
Olivia Hutchison has the, he's got a Tesla, the death ray thing. At least that's what he's calling it.
That's simply a transverse magnetic field that disrupts the cells in your body, or a transverse magnetic field that causes things to catch on fire.
Right. Can you build a handheld EMP gun?
I already have. Tommy did that.
It's
a bowl magnet out of a 4-inch plastic bowl that you buy at the dollar thrift store, and you wrap it with copper wire. You hook that to a 6-volt flashlight, to the reflector on a 6-volt flashlight, and touch it off just with a momentary contact switch, or switch it on, switch it off. And they'll kill a cell phone at about 6 feet.
Oh, I want to kill a car at about 100 feet.
Just make a bigger bowl.
Or a tat, or a tank.
Get a big solid bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
An impulse gun. You can find videos on YouTube how to make an impulse gun.
Yeah. I just have a hard time picking one of them because there's tons of videos on how to build one. Maybe two of them work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you've got an electrical background, you can generally pick out the fakes pretty quick.
Well, let me tell you one that I heard about a long time ago, and I don't know if it works or not, but I was told that you could take 2 6x9 speakers and put them face to face and duct tape them together. And then run a 12-volt battery to one of the leads on one side and one of the leads on the other side, and that would create an EMP. Does that make any sense to you?
It makes a little sense because of the magnets and the coils around the magnets in the speaker.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would not have direction to it. That would be
it's just an omni.
Yeah, it would be omnidirectional if it did. And depends on, with a 12-volt battery, yeah, maybe. It wouldn't be a very big field, but yeah.
Cool. I've known about that for probably 20 years. Never even tried it.
I would use a bigger speaker.
So you're basically... All you're really needing is a magnet and a coil.
Yeah, yeah. It's the magnetic field projected from an electrical coil. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So my point was, can you build one that's more intense and directional?
That's why you use a solid bowl.
That's just to direct it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you would a parabolic speaker.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
David LaPointe and Primer Fields, he has a north magnet that he constructed that's only north.
A monopole?
Monopole, yeah. It will hold a steel ball in the little hole in the middle of that. But once you push it past that field that holds it there, it shoots it out like a gun.
Oh.
That's with the impulse field. except you're sending the field out rather than a metal ball.
This is a donut. This is a donut magnet.
Yeah. Well, it's a bowl-shaped magnet.
Okay.
It's like a 4-inch solid bowl. But
it's got a hole in it?
What?
But it's got a hole in it?
Yeah, a hole in the very bottom.
Okay.
And that's where your north field or your south field collects.
Uh-huh.
And he did that by polarizing it in one direction.
Okay.
And that turned his whole bowl into the magnet.
Uh-huh.
And with that, he puts a steel ball in the hole, and it will keep it there. It magnetically holds it there. But when you push it a little bit further to get it out of that field, it shoots it out like a pistol. Not really quite that hard, but it'll shoot it across the room.
Yeah. Interesting.
And that all depends on how strong your magnet is and how hard it pushes.
Well, what if you stacked about 10 of those bowls on top of each other?
There you go.
Oh. All the stuff we can do, man. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this stuff is relatively lightweight and small.
Yeah.
Compared to traditional man-made, manufactured gizmachis for us to use.
Right.
And a rail gun doesn't have to be two multiple sets of electromagnets that push something across the rail. That can be one coil with the projectile in the center of that coil.
Uh-huh.
Do you have to be as fussy about the magnets you use as you are the copper or the design of the coil?
The windings?
If you're arranging them so that you have a monopole, yes, the positioning is imperative. If you're just using them to increase the field, no. They can be a Neelco. They can be...
So it depends on the application.
Yeah.
Would that be common knowledge?
It's common knowledge around my house, probably not in most places.
That's why I bring it up, because I don't know what's common and what isn't in this particular...
It's all a matter of research. Research what you want to know. Go to
that would kill the show. Yeah, then we just have three guys that knew shit. I want to be the guy that doesn't know. It makes my questions more interesting.
Now you just want to be lazy.
I've been accused of that.
You want it handed to you. Me too. Hurry up and get some production, Larry, so we can just buy one.
I live in a country where being on the grid is part of the game. This is because I'm interested in what you guys are doing. I don't plan to use it.
Don't get all buttered.
You'll be able to buy kits eventually. We'll have the coils.
Yeah.
And if you want to wind a coil, you can buy a kit for that. But there'll be a kit for one part if you want to do one thing with it. If you want to do something different with it, you add another kit to it. And we've so far got 12 kits in mind, and the one that's got 12 different parts to it is a mining kit, a surface plasma mining kit.
Oh, I've been wanting to talk about that too. Shit. Sorry.
Talk about that.
No.
Yeah. Because... That has huge implications for lots of things that I would like to do.
My trip through the Mojave Desert opened my mind and made me want to do that, and now we can.
Yeah.
He saw it in a vision on peyote when he was young.
I wish.
That was his plan.
I haven't found any good peyote since I was a teenager.
It's just a joke.
Talk about that next week. Okay, put that in the notes for next week to talk about.
Well, yeah, so you can continue what you left off with, I suppose.
Yeah,
plasma we left mining. Off.
I just kept the notes
what
for
were
the show
just
we
talking
were
talking about.
I think I did the order right, too. Not sure.
All right.
Well, I'm going to send them to Grim. I hope you guys enjoy them. You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just being funny.
I can't write or read while I'm talking.
Oh, man, yeah, that's all right. I take breaks from the yakky and I do some typing.
Yeah.
Be a little creative with what you guys say or a question I ask or something. Yeah. And I make the notes and have a good time.
We're coming up on the end already.
Well, we still have 5 minutes. Tell me a little bit more about this mining apparatus.
Okay, a couple of years ago, I went to do a test in California.
Okay.
So I went the southern route because I've always wanted to travel on Route 66, just like the old TV show.
Right.
And that's Highway 40. Well, that takes you right through the Mojave Desert.
Uh-huh.
The Mojave Desert is a whole series of high plateaus that are lush and green on the top.
Okay.
With big circular cuts out of the side of them. If it was erosion, those would be V-shaped. If it's, and some of them are because of the rain. But if it's not erosion, if it's plasma, they will be cupped. They will be semicircular. And I looked at all those, and yes, sure enough, they were semicircular.
Hmm.
Up 300 or 400 feet, these plateaus are. And all on the bottom was desolate desert that had one time been covered over by an ocean and had fossils in it. Well, that's really neat. But there's all kinds of different piles of rocks out there. And all the piles, each individual pile, is a different size rock than the pile next to it. But they're big, almost mountains that are all the same size rocks.
Hmm.
That's tailings from a mine.
Interesting.
That's mine tailings. So, in my mind, the high, lush plateaus that are all green and healthy on top was what it was originally, and that entire desert was created by plasma mining.
Yeah.
Just my thoughts. The Grand Canyon is an electrical arc that happened, a plasma arc that maybe came from outer space, maybe it was generated here on Earth, but it is not the erosion from a little bitty stream running through a valley.
Yeah, I've never passed logic for me either.
Yeah, and the same with the big star on Mars. That is an electrical arc that may have happened when the planet that's now the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter, when that blew up. Maybe it got too close. Maybe it got pulled out of orbit somehow
and got close
to Mars and arced between
them. Too close to each other, they'll arc.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the electrons in our atom.
Yeah. Frumpy says there's lots of physical evidence of plasma tools used long ago.
Yep.
He said, I mean, it's there. You can go see it. Some people think it's a leftover mine. So, yeah.
I do.
Well, let's talk more about the plasma mining and all that starting next
week.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that next week.
All right. So, cool. We have a topic for next week, too.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we're down to it. You have any last thoughts you want to give out, Larry?
Just keep it safe. If you want to play with this stuff, be sure that you remain the same potential as your equipment.
That's right. There we go.
Love it for you today.
That's it for you today. What about you, Flash? You got any words of wisdom?
Me? No, stick a fork in me, I'm done.
Stick a fork in it. Well, that's it, then. That has been the Drop of the Coral show for this week. July 16th,
thanks a lot, Larry and Rob.
And it's been lots of fun. Really enjoyed it.
Thanks for playing.
We'll do it again next week.
Same bat time, same bat channel.